Welcome to Be Simply. This is she, and I want to thank you for joining us today. We have special guest Dr. Jesse Hansen from the Helix Healthcare Group. He's going to share his wisdom and some words of encouragement for those who are ready to dive into a holistic approach to healing and living. Without further ado, let's dive in with Jesse. So, Jesse, I want to thank you for being here today. I really appreciate you giving us our time. I would love for you just to introduce yourself to the listeners about the Helix Healthcare Group that you have there up in Toronto, and share a little bit about what was in my mind this morning, just that full spectrum approach where we have integrative medicine versus just compartmentalized.
Yeah, great. Well, thank you so much, Suzanne. It's an honor to be with you in this interview and to be collaborating with you as a messenger for helping people wake up and realize about the changes that are happening in both the medical and mental health fields. And yeah, in a nutshell, I'm a native Californian who somehow lost my way and ended up in the tundra called Toronto. Ironically, I actually am finding my way as I get more settled here. I've had my own dance with addictions and my own challenges with trauma, and through my own healing process launched me into my career and professional now as a doctor of psychology. And Helix Healthcare Group here in Toronto is the culmination of my journey so far by bringing together all the different elements of the things that helped me heal and continue to help me heal so that we can offer it to others. And in terms of your direct question, you know, how is it different and what are some of the things we see or benefits is, you know, it goes back to an ancient antidote that it takes a village to raise a baby. And for any of us that are humble enough and self-aware enough to admit it, most of our issues, whether it's with addictions or anxieties or relational challenges, go back to our family of origin, which also means our childhood. And so in creating Helix, we were really fascinated with the whole neuropsychology side of things, as well as working with the different parts of the psyche. And so part of what we see that is an excellent example of this old antidote, it takes a village to raise a baby, is that you may have your psychotherapist on your team working specifically, you know, with the adult part who's dealing with a current day addiction or PTSD, but you have a hypnotherapist who's working with the inner child, and a naturopath who's working with the body elements, and a life coach who's helping you bring all this into the world. And it really creates the experience for our clients of being cared for the same way that many, many years ago our ancestors got to have that feeling of relational support. And that is also what most of the most recent clinical research is showing in the field of psychoneurobiology, and looking at how much relationships and feelings of safety, comfort, non-judgment, acceptance, these themes are healing in and of themselves. And when that is actually happening in a therapeutic container, the client is able to start to move through things that they were stuck on before when they were jumping from, oh, this office to go talk to somebody, and then I go here to practice yoga, and then I go over here to see my medical doctor. And you know, I think it's that collective feeling holds a lot of the healing in and of itself.
And as I'm listening, can you share how important that communication is, being that we're in a communication age, and oftentimes the patient becomes so informed, it might be overwhelming to the practitioners that are assisting in their healing process. Can you just share about that transparency and how it's helpful, especially in your group setting, to be able to go from one discipline to another to aid in the recovery and healing of a patient?
Absolutely, yeah. Communication is key both amongst my team members and also about how my team members communicate with their clients so that the clients can then start to practice that style of communication out there in the world. We have an amazing software called Penelope Software by Athena as a programmer, and it allows very, very quick and easy sharing of information between professionals. We also meet weekly as a team on Friday mornings and go over all the shared cases that we're working on, and it helps us communicate around, we call it like working different tracks, like trains, but like, you know, if I'm on this track working with them on this, then my colleague Monica is on this track working with them on that, and that level of communication for us as professionals is hugely important to make sure that we're not leading the client in different directions, which is a big thing that happens without a team approach. If people are going from this therapist to this to that one, there are going to be mixed messages and there are going to be confusing communications that happen. So that's one element when I hear you ask about communication, Suzanne. The other just being one of our tenets here at Helix is authenticity and vulnerability. And we practice that as clinicians as well. So we practice role modeling what it is to be authentic and vulnerable with our clients and how to communicate authentically, which means it's very simple, though it's very difficult for us to pull off because we're so programmed to people please or react. But just really actually saying what's going on in the moment. Wow, when you tell me about your childhood, I experience a great sadness in my heart and my chest is sinking. And as simple as that sounds, that little statement can often help a person access their own sadness, right? So there's two layers of communication. One is amongst the team, which is so much easier when we all work under one roof and we're on the same software. And then the two is how do we demonstrate healthy communication so that our clients can begin to have that in their life.
Beautiful. And if you can share with the listeners, and then we'll dive a little bit more into the different services you offer and how they benefit. If you can share a little bit for the listeners, being if they're not in Toronto, how they might manage some of that communication to keep themselves, you know, if they're getting some psychotherapy, getting some acupuncture, body treatment, how they can manage their communication to keep themselves clear and to make sure they're transmitting the information as clearly as possible to each practitioner.
Well, I mean, one thing is to encourage and ask them, whatever professional they're working with to sign a confidentiality waiver so that, you know, it at least makes sure it's very clear from the client's point of view, like, I want you to talk to so-and-so. Sometimes that's not a general understanding amongst a professional or between a client and a therapist. So I think that's one, is just being very adamant about the client's wish for the professional to communicate with other collaborative care. Having been in private practice and having worked with others, that's a sad thing I know, is that it, even when that happens, it's still difficult. So, you know, I'm not going to say that in and of itself is going to take care of everything. But if that's not a possibility or if that's not happening, I don't know a terrible lot about what else a person could do other than continue to be really authentic with their whoever they're paying to help them heal. Is to just be authentic of, I don't appreciate that it seems like you're telling me something differently. I really deeply, strongly, both as a person and a professional, I believe in authentic communication. I believe in when we speak authentically, it will guide us to our authentic life. If we don't speak up for ourselves, or if we decide to just, you know, oh, well, they're the doctor, they know best, I better not say that, I believe that that can also contribute to, you know, negative relational patterns in terms of the client needing to find their truth, you know.
Beautiful. And authentic communication, can you share with the listener a few where they can maybe sense, what is an example of authentic communication? In addition, how they can maybe notice some of those metaphorical red flags when something might not be in alignment for their highest and best?
Authentic communication is a term that's becoming bigger and bigger in the psychology world. I learned it through a branch called relational somatic psychotherapy. So it's, again, the belief of having that healthy level of relationship and communication will bring a healing component to whatever material is being addressed. So in terms of examples, oftentimes what happens is so-and-so group, you know, this happened to me when I was 12, and it's, oh, and then another person wants to share, oh my God, I know, like, that same thing happened to me when I was 12, and it's so tough. And as much as that is a sweet comment and a intended to be helpful, and it is somewhat helpful, what's happened there, though, is that now this person who was initially opening up, someone else has stepped in and sort of taken the limelight or said, oh, let's make this about me now. Where the authentic communication part would be more of, wow, as I hear you say that, it really brings up a lot of sadness for me, or brings up anger for me. And in other words, so authentic communication is not about telling a story. It's not about matching experiences. It's simply about naming present moment mindful observation of your thoughts or emotions or bodily sensations. So, you know, I believe that any of us can practice that, whether or not we are psychotherapists, whether or not we're seeing a psychotherapist. I find for myself and my clients that it's much easier to practice this when we have a practice playground, such as a psychotherapy office or a process group or whatever it is. But
when you say that, it reminds me of the word courage. If you can give our listeners a couple tips on how to have courage to not immediately go to their own storytelling or feel put off if their practitioner is relating to them through a story or experience, but how to have courage to speak for their with their emotions and share what's going on for them internally.
Yeah, I love you brought up courage in conjunction with authentic communication. I agree with you that it does take courage to communicate authentically, because oftentimes we won't say what we're really thinking because we're afraid we will hurt someone, we're afraid we'll lose them, we'll get abandoned, whatever might happen. So courage, if we look at that word, the root of that word, cur, C-O-U-R, is actually Latin for heart. And so it really needs to come from the heart, is what courage has to do with. And so insights for listeners would first and foremost be deep breathe as you begin to speak. Take the extra pause, take that millisecond, that 1 second, whatever it is, to breathe, and then feeling where the heart is in the physical body and practicing. And it is something that is easier said than done, but practicing coming from the heart, it means if I'm saying things to anyone in my life and I start to feel my body's energy go down or up or anywhere other than within me, that's an indicator that I'm not speaking authentically. If I tell someone, yeah, I'll come meet you at the movies tonight, and I really don't want to, I'm going to have a body feeling that comes with that, and it's going to be kind of a sinking, like, fine. And that's the key right there. There are subtle, both somatic, meaning body, as well as cognitive and emotional indicators that mindfulness skills allow us to track these for. And when we're in our authenticity, in our courage to be authentic, it actually feels good. Mm-hmm. Even if it means confronting someone, even if it means risking something, there's a feeling of like, wow, I can't believe I just stood up for myself, or wow, I can't believe I told my husband what I really thought this time. You know, and so I think that the payoff is we start to develop a more clear sense of self, and we start to have a stronger core, not just, I mean, physically, like working at a gym, but like we can feel like, wow, that was really me. That wasn't some adaptation that I learned as to how to get my way or to how to be the nice one so that everybody likes me. So, yeah, I think courage is a great word to bring in to authentic communication, Susanna.
Beautiful. And so can you share, kind of using courage as our bridge, one, the courage it takes to identify that you're in need of help, whether it's recovery, mental assistance to get stabilization, physical assistance, and how the different pathways you have within your healthcare group to assist people on a variety of conditions.
So we offer a complimentary consultation to anyone that's interested in our services. Though we are located in Toronto, and the majority of our client base are Torontonians, we also have a program called the Deep Dive, and it's accessible for anyone anywhere in the world. We actually just had a family from Switzerland come. We've had people from Baltimore, California, New York, a lot of Americans have come up for this, and it's a short intensive. It can be as short as 3 days. It could be as long as 3 weeks. But it's an intensive program that would either focus on trauma resolution, eliminating the negative belief systems of their known trauma, as well as addictions. And we do have housing arrangements and things like that that people can stay. Mm-hmm. But majority, we also do offer Skype and telemedicine as well for people that are interested that aren't in Toronto. We'll be launching a virtual program this summer that's going to allow people all over the world to learn and do exercises and have the opportunity to do telemedicine with my team. Because I do think we're getting more and more recognition for the work we're doing, integrating trauma resolution with integrative wellness, which means that our clients would go from usually a 2 hour, sometimes it's only one, but a 1 or 2 hour processing session, which means not just talk therapy, but actually working with the nervous system to clear whatever it is, whether it's an old trauma that has PTSD-like symptoms, or whether it's as simple as recognizing, here's the root of my negative belief that I'm not good enough, it goes back to dad or whatever. So they would reprocess that through the nervous system, and then right after that session's over, go right into a wellness session, which means either acupuncture, massage, yoga, meditation, sound therapy, equine therapy is an option we're going to bring in this summer as well. So it's that rhythm, Suzanne, of moving from a somatic psychological process right into an integrative wellness. And those are things that we can help people with, even if they don't live in Toronto, through the deep dive.
Beautiful. I always say dive in, so I like that you called it deep dive.
it's a fitting name.
Absolutely. I've been contemplating addiction lately, and that oftentimes when people decide they want to recover and they're ready to take that jump, if you can share with the listeners, if they are suffering with some sort of addiction, what you would recommend that they have in line if they're ready to go into recovery to make sure that they're okay. I just heard of a case today where someone went into recovery and, ended up taking their life. And so to me, that just suggests, once you start clearing that away, there wasn't enough support to handle what was coming up. So if you could help with the listeners just to know, like, hey, I'm wanting to go into recovery. However, you want to make sure you have a good team around you so you can get the best outcome possible.
Yes, this is such a good question, Suzanne, and I also know of situations like you described where people push themselves into recovery without the right kind of support or container, and whether it's taking a life or, relapsing really hard and overdosing or whatever it would be. So to your question, I would say this, that, I think that one way to look at it is that whatever it is, whether it's cocaine, heroin, sex, gambling, shopping, whatever it is, that addictive behavior serves as some type of security blanket, some type of soothing device for them in their lives. And if you're going to take away a kid's blanket, you better darn well give it something else to support it. And that's the place where I see people make this mistake, is they take away the blanket, whether it's the person themselves or whether it's a parent or a therapist even, or anyone that says, hey, you can't have that anymore. Well, then what the heck else am I supposed to do? So I am a huge supporter of AA, and I think that AA is doing a wonderful thing in the world. I also have seen a lot of instances where AA on its own is just not enough. There needs to be some type of, whether it's psychotherapy, spiritual counseling, life coaching, someone in their life who can actually help them address the root issues. If we try to recover without addressing the root issues, we're going to have one of three outcomes. One, what you said already. So far outside of my comfort, I just can't take it anymore, that I'm going to kill myself. Two is that I'm going to stay in recovery, but I'm going to drive myself crazy. This is often called a dry drunk or a level of neurosis, where it's like, I'm never going to drink again, but I'm so unsettled, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or three, if it's done properly and with the support, you can think of it as a weaning. It's like, okay, as we take this blanket away, we're going to work with the reasons why you need the blanket in the first place. And that's the dance that I believe in, and that's the dance that we work with at Helix, is helping our clients address the underlying issues as they either stop cold turkey or taper off of their destructive addictive behavior.
Hmm. Beautiful.
So that tapering piece is crucial, and the addressing the root issues. And as much as I do value the 12 steps, and I think they have great merit, there's not much, if anything, in the 12 steps about how the body holds trauma or about how the body holds on to negative beliefs. And so we cannot only intellectually heal from recovery. At best, if we're only going to use intellect and talking, we can build up a strong enough willpower to stop ourselves from doing something, but it's not the same as actually changing a quality of being or changing a quality of emotions that would lead to a person to just not want it and actually find joy in life.
Beautiful. You're creating the parallel of how an athlete trains. You know, if anyone out there listening is trained for something, there's a taper, and it's very important for the optimal outcome. So
yeah.
I like that,
yeah,
that word, taper. So I don't want to, we could talk a long time.
I know. This is great. Unfortunately, yeah, I know I do have to go here, but I'd be honored to continue later if appropriate.
I would love to maybe in the future have you back, and we could talk about specific areas. This gives us a good overarching. If you can share with the listeners where they can find you on the World Wide Web, and we'll put the links too, but go ahead.
we're at www.helix, which is H-E-L-I-X, helixhealthcaregroup.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter under Helix Healthcare Group. We have a pretty fun website. There's a lot of resources that your listeners can access, from blogs to videos. And like I said, within the next probably 3 months here, we're going to have a virtual program that if people are interested, they can actually get some psychoeducational materials, exercises, and access to us up here via Skype and phone. HelixHealthcareGroup.com is probably the best way to just kind of learn more about what we're doing. And I'm very, very grateful for this opportunity, Suzanne, and just so happy that you're out there and you're doing what you're doing and you're helping get the word out about holistic healing and integrative medicine. Thank you.
Well, and thank you, Jesse. I really appreciate you being here today.
Once again, I'd like to thank Dr. Jesse Hansen for joining us today. As inspired, please connect to the Helix Healthcare Group and all the services they offer at the link below. And if you have a moment, please stay a little bit longer and connect to the sounds of Carlos Nakai. This song is entitled Aspen Wind. Take a moment to be. Until next time, this is she signing out. With a soft gaze, a full heart, a gentle smile, a deep bow, and a namaste. Be simply. Mm-hmm.